Alrighty. Welcome to the first episode of Is What It Is. I'm Sha Marie, and my co-host is
Jean.
and we are going to talk about Paul Esner Rhodes today. And we're just going to kind of dive right into it because this is like the first one we've ever done and really don't know what the fuck we're doing. So
Bear
bear with
with
us and come along the ride. All right, anyway. So this dude was only the second person to get executed in Idaho since 1976. He's the first person executed in 2011, so you know he has to be a dirtbag for us to kill him.
It was lethal injection.
Yeah, lethal injection
Okay.
is what it was. Let me give you a little background about good old Paul. Well, obviously not good old Paul because he turned out to be a piece of shit, but. All right, so Paul Esner Rhodes was born in 1957, the first of four children in, let's see. He is a descendant, they say, from a long line of poverty, neglect, domestic violence, alcoholism, drug abuse, mental illness, and suicide. His father was intolerant. I don't know what the fuck that means. Well, that means an asshole or what?
Intolerant?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
He was just a dick.
Yeah.
And proved to be
Snaps a
ill-equipped.
lot.
Oh, okay. And he proved to be ill-equipped to handle his obligations as a husband and a father. Well, that's a dick move.
Join the club.
Hit what?
Join the club. That's what I
Right.
said.
His mother struggled with her own limitations. She bore the full responsibility of caring for four kids, and that's a fucking disaster all on its own,
Yeah.
dude. Four fucking kids, that's a disaster. And an older son she brought from another relationship. Oh shit. Okay, so she had like five, that's five kids. That's worse. Five kids? That's crazy. So Paul was paralyzed with polio when he was 4 years old. And I had no idea what polio was, so I looked it up. And it turns out it's like, I don't even know. Probably gonna get a lot of shit for this, but being dirty is said like you are just like in a dirty place. Like you can get it from your food, in the air, whatever.
Well, it's
What does Google say? Are you Googling?
yeah, it's a disease that we have those immunizations for, and yeah, the
Vaccinations?
vaccinations for, because it pretty much poison, from my understanding. Well, let's just Google it, actually. But he was in Salt Lake City Hospital, and he was pretty much by himself because mom had to come back here.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
And
look on my notes. That's the next thing that says too. Is he was all by himself in Salt Lake City while his mom had to bust her ass to take care of all these fucking kids.
yeah.
So you know she had to be a hard ass at least somewhat because my mom raised five fucking kids and I tell you it was not easy.
Yeah. No, it's definitely terrible. I googled polio going back real fast, and it's actually a virus that destroys the nerve cells in the spinal cord, so it slowly can paralyze people.
Gotcha.
And
Okay.
during his treatment for that, they discovered that he was starting to get gangrene, so he never healed properly. So that's why he had a limp,
He had a
which,
gimp, yeah.
and so that probably helped them narrow it down to him. But did they do much forensic science in the 80s? Or was it pretty
That would be
obviously
the
limited?
70s, wouldn't it? Because he was the 50s. Oh, so like the 60s. Because he was just a little kid. He was
Oh,
only
with the
like
polio?
four.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure they didn't know shit,
He had
much of that.
surgeries up until he was 12, though.
Oh, yeah. So then he. I don't know. Probably not. That shit, I'm not that. I'm not knowledgeable on that. I'm not sure. Some people, though, because I do know people who knew Paul, didn't really say that he had a limp. They said that he was more of like a ape looking. Like he walked with like a. He like slouched.
Like a bigger man.
Yeah, he was like a sloucher more than like a gimper. But he was in pain ever since. He was unable to play sports like all the other little boys, so you know he was super sad. He couldn't play activities with his brother or the neighborhood boys or at school.
It wasn't a pretty abusive household with the substance abuse.
Yeah, and, probably. Yeah, they say his house was like fucking psychotic. Go ahead. So I guess he lived in a crowded small home on 6th Street here in Idaho Falls.
I believe it's over by IF.
Over by the high school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so. His father drank all day. Shocker. He couldn't hold down a job, being drunk and all. I'm assuming that was a challenge.
Part of why they said he couldn't be a man and take care of his responsibilities and family.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He told his children he would kill himself more than once on one occasion. He fought with their mom so much that it led to them calling the police routinely to his home for his parents fighting. And he also pulled his dad out of brawls at local bars. So it sounds See, like he that's, was...
That's pretty mentally tormenting as a child, I imagine. If you have a parent, no less,
act like a douche.
I'm gonna kill myself because that's manipulation to its finest, and lots of the research says that he was a big manipulator.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Real quick though, if it's echoey, guys, we're sorry. We're in my little brother's room, and he has like, it's the most bare room you've ever been in your life. So if we're echoey, I apologize for that. It's the only room we could hide in that my children wouldn't find us. So anyway, his other role models in his life were his grandfather and many uncles that were shockingly just as bad as his dad. They taught him how to drink with them when he was like 10 or 11. And he would occasionally, I hate that word that they use. What's the big word they use for occasionally? Like recreationally?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hate that word. Drug use soon followed. He was big into coke, LSD, marijuana, speed. Several of Paul's closest relatives attempted suicide on a number of occasions. Most of them, though, eventually ended up losing their lives to alcohol and drugs. Other members of his family have done time for violent crimes.
That's a pretty rocky background and lifestyle. And
the whole thing, yeah. I mean,
it's so really... He started drinking at 10.
Yeah. And doing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And being a little shit stick with his uncles, I guess, from what it sounds like. Paul dropped out of high school at 16.
And then he went and... never mind.
He went working with his uncle.
Yeah.
And ran a successful drywall business.
So he did drywall, and what was his other thing he was doing? I'm sorry, guys, I lost my spot.
At 16, though, to drop out of high school, I mean, that's really no reason to, like, that doesn't give you a reason, I guess I should say.
Like high school is tough. I wouldn't do it again.
Well, I mean, no. I dropped out when I was 15, but, like, I don't know. I didn't turn into a fuck.
Into a serial killer?
Yeah. Well. Like, you know what I mean? I handled my shit a little better. I'm not going to say I assume. I fucking know, but...
Day's not over yet.
Right? My future is not known. Okay, well, you look that up. He worked here and in Washington. He was the backbone of his family, and I did read and watch a bunch of the news articles on YouTube that you can go back and watch where they get Idaho Falls' reaction to, like, him being sentenced to death and stuff. And it is super sad, because his sisters do say, before he turned into, like, a crackhead, that he was a super reliable, like, he was... the best brother you could ever have. So even though they had a shitty life, he was a good guy, I guess, until he did start smoking crack. But
well, do you think that's what broke him? Or what snapped? What made him into a serial killer, I guess? You know?
Yeah. Well, that's the big question, really.
Because you don't randomly just wake up and say, well, I'm going to shoot this lady in the back after I rape her.
I really don't know if anybody knows why. I don't know if that's in here, why he actually, like, if he ever said why. I know what they say on Wikipedia when you Google him. They say his motive was, like, fame or money, one or the other, but...
It says his last words here. Because, I mean, we'll get into his last words, though. To shoot him in the back.
Well, hold on. We haven't gotten into his crimes yet. Okay. They say that he did watch all of the children so that they could go work nights at a local restaurant. So, I mean, he wasn't a full-blown piece of shit. I mean, he ended up turning into be one.
Yeah.
But he really wasn't, I guess. Took care of his family. Yeah. And now we're going to go into a turn, and we're going to get into what he actually did. So we're going to go to Blackfoot first before we come back to Idaho Falls. But meth back in the day, back in the 80s and whatnot, was referred to as crank. So it had a whole different name. But as we now know, you're just a fucking crackhead. But in the months leading up to the 1987 murders of Stacy Baldwin, Noland Haddon, and Stacy Mitchell, what? How do you pronounce her last name?
Susan Michael Becker.
Oh yeah! Wow, I really fucked that up. Susan, sorry about that.
She was a special ed teacher.
Yeah, at Idaho Falls High School. So now we're going to kind of shift off of Paul, and we're going to go more into his victims, kind of. I didn't really find much, because really, when you look them up, I think Jean might have more on them. What do you have on the victims?
Well, unfortunately, I was only really able to narrow down... a lot about how they died, but not so much about who they were. The Stacy Baldwin from Blackfoot was working as the Red Barn.
Isn't that cute? That's
a convenience store.
Isn't that fucking cute?
Mm-hmm.
But like,
she was 21.
Yeah, and that place sounded like it was popping. Like it was open hella late.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounded like it was the place to be. Could you imagine being? Because her friends, we should say this. Her friends did end up seeing her being taken, like not seeing it happen, but in the parking lot, he almost backed into them. So that should be said that they saw two people in his truck too, but they just couldn't see who it was. So, I mean, imagine that guilt. You went to go hang out with your friend at her work and you walk in there and it's a ghost. She was newly married. I do know that.
Mm-hmm.
She was newly married.
21.
Yeah. And I knew, I know she fought like a badass because he tried to rape her and he couldn't. And she died. He shot her.
Oh, I didn't write down.
It's in here. How many times he shot her?
I think one of them, he shot him like 9. He shot Susan 9 times. I'm not sure how many times he shot
Susan. I think it was 6.
How scared she was.
Yeah.
Because at 21, you're still a kid.
And it's fucking... Oh, and we must mention that this is like, I guess, it was like a horrible winter. Like, it was super cold. There was snow everywhere. And he took her out to a field of some sort. I never found what field he took her out to. I know it's on the outskirts of town.
Uh-huh.
It's not listed, though, like, if there's a name to it. Or not a name to it. But yeah, dude, imagine that. Like, and you beat this fucker. Like, you got away. Like, and you thought you could get away.
Mm-hmm.
And he still fucking shoots you. And she didn't die right away either.
No, she had... It was an hour and a half?
Yeah, it was an hour and a half before she actually passed away. And then she was found the next day. So, that's just horrible. And then I guess he takes, like, a break. Because then he goes to Idaho Falls to Buck's gas station. Where Noland is working.
Noland.
Yeah, that's what I said, right? Noland?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was working, and he was a student at, where did you say?
It was iTech then, it's CEI now. He was just 20.
He was just 20.
Yeah.
And I heard that, I read that he wasn't even supposed to be working that night, and he just was filling in for a girl. But he did have long beautiful hair, by the way, it looks like. It looks like his hair was gorgeous.
Yeah.
But he had long hair. So either Paul mistaken him for a girl or thought the girl was going to be there.
Yeah.
Either or, him thinking that he was a female is what brought him into the store. They are guessing.
Yeah.
That's what they assume. So, just to say, super sad note. When you watch the interview on his brother, for some reason, had never even been to Buck's gas station and drove that night for some weird reason and went and saw his brother.
Aww.
Like, and he just, like, he said he just knew where it was. Like, he just, it felt like he knew where he was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Was he able to visit with him and then he left and...
Yeah, it was, he died, he got shot after his brother had already been there. So... It's just so fucking weird how shit like that happens.
Well, it's just powerful, that connection.
Yeah, that with a sibling, you know what I mean? Like, that's crazy.
But that also kind of just tells me that it was plotted out. I mean, the way that Paul was raised, and he's, I read that he was a great manipulator, you know, probably staked her out and was checking out to that. Wanted to rape that girl because Nolan, he shot him 5 times.
Mm-hmm. And put him in the freezer.
Mm-hmm. He ended up dying at Ermac. He tried.
Yeah. But he's the one who told them who Paul was and, like, gave a description of who Paul was.
Yeah.
Was him. So, I mean, he is a hero at the 20. End of the fucking day. Like, imagine that, dude. Yeah. Like, I couldn't even imagine. And his brother said on the documentary that if you guys want to watch it, it's Ice Cold Killers.
Oh, I was going to ask
you. And it's, hold on 1 second. Let me get my wits about me. It's Ice Cold Killers on the ID channel. It's season 3, episode 5. And it's like Terror of Bullets or something like that. But he said the saddest thing was watching his parents, like, try to bring him back. Like, I couldn't even imagine, dude. I only have 2 kids. So, like, to even think about one of them dying in some tragic way is horrible. Absolutely horrible.
It's heart-wrenching.
Yeah. And to know that, like, in the freezer they found brown paper bag, like the brown paper sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That they used to have back in the good old days. They found him on fire. So, like, it showed temp. He was shot in the back, so he couldn't move.
Yeah, a spinal cord injury. Mm-hmm.
And his spinal cord, yeah. So, he, at least, it showed that he was trying to stay warm to some effect. So, it's just super sad to know.
Convenience store theater or freezers, like, what, between 25 and 36 degrees? Or I'm not quite sure. I'm sorry.
I don't even know. I know it's fucking cold.
Yeah.
I know the one at Walmart's freezing.
Yeah.
Because, like, I freeze my balls off in that thing. I hate going in there. It's so cold. But, yeah, and thank God he was put in there, though, because that was a dumb move, because it really just slowed his blood down, so he was able to live longer than he should have. But he looks like a sweetheart, too. I'll post everybody's pictures on the Instagram and Facebook and all that good, fun jazz, but... So, yeah, he does this, and then he waits about a week, and then poor Susan, dude, was fucking sick and decided to go to the school. She, like we said, she was a special ed teacher at Idaho Falls High School.
I thought it was Eagle Rock, but...
I did, too, until I researched it, but it is Idaho Falls High School, so I feel confident in saying that, kind of. Now I kind of regret it.
Uh-huh. What she went to the store and went and got cocoa. I couldn't find out which grocery store it was, but it said it was a grocery store for cocoa about 8 o'clock. And then they found her, was it 2 hours later or two days later? Again, this is our first one and we're winging it, so.
We are, and Jean stepped in at the last minute to do this with me, so it's
You're
great.
Awesome.
Oh, thank you. I think you're amazing, too. But, give us...
Okay. So, Nolan was able to give him a description.
Yeah. And like we said, she was abducted from the store. We just don't know what store.
Mm-hmm.
because she was sick and trying to go home. So her husband thankfully noticed that she was missing rather quickly. Mm-hmm. Because she was only supposed to go to the school.
I had a 2-year-old.
Oh, did she? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, that's heartbreaking. Yes, ma'am.
She was 34, so she was a mom, too.
Oh, my God, that's so sad. That is so sad. I can't even imagine being put in that situation where you're sick as fuck. Mm-hmm. And now you have to fight for your life.
Like, she was responsible enough to even go to work and,
yeah, and still
put papers there that they, yeah, needed or whatever, you know.
Yeah, but still do her job. And some dick just has to fuck up your whole entire day.
Kind of reminds you to keep things precious.
Right. Mm-hmm. Shit happens in just a blink of an eye and you don't even know what kind of douchebag around you is having a bad day. But he raped her. And he drug her behind his van, too. She went through some shit. Her death was...
He tortured her.
Yeah, he straight up tortured her.
Yeah.
And he...
It was extremely painful.
Yeah, sorry. He raped her. Keep and, no, you're fine. They found semen in her mouth. So it was hard to tell if she was already dead when he was doing this. Or if she was alive. It's hard to tell. But he did commit violent things. He cut off her breasts. I mean,
he inflicted pain on her. Yeah.
Yeah.
He
absolutely. I heard from a bunch of people from that era that it was said that he even shot her, like, up the, you know who.
She was shot 9 times total.
Yeah. But to, like, be shot up your girl, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Ugh. So he, that... And that was the one that hopefully put Idaho Falls over the edge.
Was able to pass out from pain. Yeah,
at some point in time, right? So she doesn't have to live through that whole thing. It's so crazy. And it's crazy because really he didn't get shit. If they say he did it for like money reasons, but how much money did he even get from the Red Barn? It wasn't even that much. It was like $100.
I think it was more about the power and the rape, in my opinion. And then he might have been a cover-up because he was a plotter. A schemer.
Yeah. That is... I mean, especially... And he drove... He drove Susan around and made her take out money from her banks. $1,000 at a time.
Oh.
Like, he stayed with her for a hot minute, dude. Her time with him was not short. It was far from a quick encounter like the other two had. And I'm pretty sure... The first encounter wasn't a quick one, like, because he did abduct her, like we said, she was abducted. But, no, it was not quick at all. It was horrible.
Well, and...
Oh, he got $249 from the register at the Red Barn. So, he only got $200 from her, $249 from her, and then when he robbed Noland, right? Mm-hmm. Ah, ha, 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 ha. I thought I was going to forget. He didn't get much either. He only got, from there, he only did get like $100 and something. He stole marble reds and some fucking lighters because he's a real piece of shit. I mean, he didn't go crazy, I guess, but. And he was.
He did later.
Yeah. When he, so he kills her. Oh, he got $116 from him. And then he got, I think it's like a total of like $2,000 or something like that from
Susan.
So he kills the three victims. So he decides he's going to be a fucking punk about it. And he steals his mom's car, his mom's truck. And he fails to inform his mom that, like, I just committed 3 murders and now I got to go.
Well, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
You put that on a postcard, I think.
Fuck, I would. I probably wouldn't even do that. But, yeah, he goes to Nevada.
Wells? That's a drive. That's up there.
Is it? How far away is it?
Well, hell.
But on his little... Drove sorry.
Off the road?
Yeah, he got into a wreck. Like, if you're going to steal a car and murder people, I suggest... You don't wreck the fucking vehicle.
Maybe his adrenaline was wearing off.
Well, you want to, do you know where they found him?
at the casino playing blackjack.
Yeah.
I like blackjack.
And he left everything in the car.
Yeah, that was interesting. Like the slugs and the freaking gun.
Everything, the watch. Like everything. Like you go through all of this.
And Wells is a 4-hour drive.
Oh, okay. So it's not that far.
Yeah.
Not from Idaho Falls anyway.
Yeah. And you know, it does raise that curiosity of maybe he just wanted to be done. Maybe he just wanted to be caught, because honestly, I mean, wouldn't you try and get farther away than just 4.5 hours?
Well, I'm sure he intended to get farther away before he wrecked the car. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure he was gacked the fuck out of his mind. And all sorts of hyped up, dude.
Yeah.
Because he left after that. So he... Why he didn't run... I guess he did run technically the first time because it was in Blackfoot.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Well, it was a whole spree from... I have the dates, folks. No, I don't have the dates right in front of me. I was 7. It was 19... Oh, there it is. No, he received the death sentence in March of 1988, and then lethal injection in 2011. So that's 20 some odd years that we paid for this man to still eat, by the way.
Right. Which cost millions, by the way. There's like documentaries about it that I've seen.
Yeah, we should have sent him to that one guy in Maricopa County.
Do you know, like, we don't kill motherfuckers here. Like, we don't. It's so crazy. We're going to do a story about him in another episode, but there is a guy here that, like, the last hanging in Idaho, because it was, like, fucking torture. Technically, they fucking tortured this dude. Mm-hmm. Which he deserved it. We'll get into it. We'll fucking... You'll understand why it was all right and no one did anything to stop it. But we don't kill people here. In, like, Texas, if you're sentenced to death in Texas, like, they don't play, bro. You're going to die. Like,
you know, they don't sit on death row for 20 years. I've always questioned
that. No, not
that
long, dude. No.
Really?
No, Texas don't fuck around. They are like, you in and out, bro. Like, in and out.
Well, they'll probably shoot you at the end. It says the dates of his murders were 1985 to 1987. So this was on a 3-year span? 2-year span?
Yeah.
And 85 to 57, that means that he was, just because I'm curious, 28 when he committed these crimes.
Yeah. Mm. He was in a, I saw pictures of him too that I'll post too, that he was in a wheelchair. Like, in his his before execution pictures, he was in a wheelchair, so.
Milking it.
Yeah, he really was.
He might not have. Maybe he had back issues.
Well, he did, because he had all those problems from having polio and all that nonsense. And he fought till the very end. He really did.
Like, appealed?
Yeah. He had a lawyer pop up at fucking 3 o'clock in the morning and submit shit to the court so that they couldn't fucking do it. The
courthouse isn't open.
Dude, back in the day, I don't know how this shit works. I think you can't submit it like that. But that's what they said. The news even said it. Like, this dude just popped up out of the middle of nowhere. And was like...
Where'd he get the money for this?
I don't know. His execution was 55 minutes late. He got himself 55 more minutes than he was originally supposed to. And... I just want to find...
There were protesters for his execution.
Yeah, dude, did you fucking... 50 people, it says 50 people bared the cold and wind to protest. Their sign said, what would Jesus do?
Well...
Jesus messed up. You know
Jesus
what I mean?
Jesus wouldn't rape, like, and torture and kill...
He had a moment of...
And kids.
Not goodness there. Nothing reflected good upon that.
Well, and everyone's allowed their opinion. But.
Yeah, this is just mine. So it's fine.
But he's one of the... There's 6 serial killers linked to Idaho.
Yeah.
And he's one of the top 3.
Which is pretty... I mean, we don't have a lot of horrible crimes. We do. But we don't. We have a lot of different crimes when it comes to Idaho. And we're gonna branch out of Idaho too and go to some surrounding states like Washington and Colorado and all that fun stuff. But I just want to tell you what Paul did on his last little.
His last meal was whatever the other
Oh,
prisoners
dude.
Had.
Yeah, I gotta tell you. Let me tell you what his last meal was. Hold on, I have it exactly. Because he had, like, no imagination, I tell you. At all. He had no imagination. It.
My heart always goes out to the victims and their families. I mean, just to know
right.
that your loved one was tortured before they died. I mean, I wonder if there really is closure. You know? Cause
I don't
the
think
piece
there
of me is
is
always
because gone. I know for a fact that I would never get over it. Like, I wouldn't. If one of my brothers or sisters were taken out.
And harmed in such a way. They were at
yeah.
work.
And they did nothing wrong. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, nothing.
Thing. Yep.
Nothing wrong at all, dude. And they get shot down at work just because some dude has a fucking bad day. And wants to be a dick.
Well, and I don't know. I'm all cracked out and messed out and you're out of your mind. How many days had he been up?
Well, yeah. I mean, that...
How many days was he plotting and planning this?
Does that get taken into effect, like, into account, though? I don't think so. Because, like, really...
Well, because it's that planned is first degree murder.
Okay.
Oops, I killed you is, or in the heat of the moment, is second degree.
Yeah.
Manslaughter, from my understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you find the last meal?
I did.
Was
I did
Jell-O
find his
on
last
there?
Meal. Yeah.
Okay.
He had hot dogs.
And sauerkraut, God.
Sauerkraut, mustard, ketchup, onions, relish, some baked beans, some good old-fashioned veggie sticks, some ranch dressing. A fruit with gelatin and strawberry ice cream cup. The same meal as everybody else in the minimum maximum office, place, building, whatever the fuck, pod, whatever they call it. Like, that's what you do? Like, if you're gonna kill me, bro, fuck. You know what I mean? I'm a fat kid.
I'm gonna be full.
Yeah, I'm going out with some class, bro. You're gonna see... Some steak.
Some fried potatoes. He was in Boise.
Right? You don't even like
yeah.
nothing, dude.
Huh.
Oh, a baked potato for sure. Mm-hmm. What would your guys' last meal be? Like on a for real note? Heaven forbid you do something to get on death row. What would you do? What would yours be? What would your last meal be?
Oh, off the top of my head, because I'm hungry, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe some good. Surf and turf, like prime rib, shrimps. Ooh, those coconut shrimps. Yeah. And then definitely fried potatoes.
I wonder if you can order out. Or it does have to be like something like the other inmates can provide for you.
I'm not sure. I'm sure you plan ahead. You know, because then they have a priest come and hang out with you all day.
Well, and his priest got there at like 3 a.m., dude. Like, his fucking priest kicked it for a hot second. But he... was just chill. They said that he literally kicked back all day. He listened to music. He watched some TV. He was able to talk to his friends and family for a little bit. His mom was the only one that went to the execution, which I don't blame nobody because I don't know if I could go to my brother's execution. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, could you watch a sibling die?
I don't know. That's a hard question. I didn't really prepare for that. I don't... Nah, no. Yeah.
If they did something heinous, no. Could you do it?
I'd definitely have a conversation with him, and I don't think so, but...
Right.
I don't know. That's...
Go
I guess that's a
last.
Situational thing, you know?
I don't know. I guess I could see going and, like, saying the goodbye, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But definitely, I don't think I could sit there and watch him take his last breath. Like, I'm not that chill with life. That would give me a fucking panic attack beyond all belief.
Well, but for a serial killer to, I mean, murder is one thing, but to need to do it again, whether it's a sudden impulse or whether it's planned out and methodical and maniacal, mm-hmm. really, he got her breast off.
Yeah. Like, how fucking sick do you have to be, this poor woman? I couldn't even imagine. In Idaho, shockingly, there wasn't... I mean, there were the protesters, of course. But everybody in Idaho was straight up, like, an eye for an eye, bro. Mm-hmm. An eye for an eye. Like, you need to go, dude. Which is crazy.
Well, he was convicted to life on two of them. Where's my notes? Sorry, folks. The two of them, and then the Susan got him the death sentence. So he received the two life sentences, one for each, and then the death sentence for Susan, because, you know.
Which is insane.
But, something's, it's serial killers, I mean, that's really scary, because you're going about your normal day.
Right. You know,
Susan was stopping at the grocery store for cocoa and then going home to probably watch a movie and sleep, take a nap. You know?
Yeah.
Just a regular day and then you're gone. I mean, that just reminds me to hug my kids and say I love you to everybody as much as I can.
Right. And he admitted it. So don't, like, he did admit this. In Nevada... one of the cops that was arresting him was, he knew him from Idaho Falls. Mm-hmm. And he straight up said, I did it. Like, I did it. The girl in Blackfoot. Because at his death, we'll say what he, his last final words, and we'll talk about that.
Well, then what was he appealing then?
Right. I don't really, I have it right here. If you want to read that. I'll give you the other one, the very top.
In May 13th, 1988, the 7th Judicial District Court for Bingham County made and entered its findings of the court in considering the death penalty, finding that Rhodes is guilty of murder in the first degree and kidnapping in the first degree, and imposing the sentence of death. On October 11th, 2011, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear Rhodes' case. And so 2011 is, oh, hang on a second, this gets interesting. On October 19th, 2011, IDOC served Rhodes with a death warrant as ordered by 7th District Judge John Schinderling. The warrant ordered that Rhodes be executed on November 18th, 2011. On November 4th, 2011, the Idaho Commission of Paroles and Pardons and Parole decided to deny the petition for commutation hearing submitted on behalf of Rose. That probably is maybe act of mercy. I'm not sure. Yeah. On November 14th, 2011, U.S. Magistrate Judge denied a stay of execution. On November 16, 2011, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals denied an emergency stay. On November 18, 2011, Rhodes was executed by lethal injection.
So, I mean, he did. He fought out all the way up to the very good end.
Well, yeah, he was found guilty by our local 7th Judicial Court. And so, 2011 to 1988, that's years of appeals. Mm-hmm. All the way up to the Supreme Court, that's a process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That takes you a hot second.
Well, and money. That's what, where is this?
I don't know.
Who
I
has
don't,
a lawyer for this?
I don't
that
know.
That has to be like 54, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Back in the day, though, was it that expensive? Like, nowadays, yeah, dude, you better have some fucking money if you're gonna fight some shit.
Well, but
there was a local resident Dave, who is quoted saying, "I don't look at it as a punishment. I just figure that person's so miserable sitting in there. I think I would rather choose death if it came to it myself." So, I mean, really, if you're going to get sentenced to death, let's do the damn thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Why can't we, like, schedule this shit a week out?
Well,
why do I gotta kick it?
But that was the other... I mean, after he was in jail for 23 years, he was served the warrant on... October 19th. So that's like a month's notice. Because it was November 18th.
Right.
So when they deliver you your death warrant.
Well, yeah,
so
you know when you're going to die. Like, you know.
So where does the 23 years come from?
Because you have to sit there. Local
taxes, too.
Yeah, like, you have to sit there and we have to pay for you to wait. And to do all your fucking... He tried to say that it was unjust and it was against, like, his... What is it? Like, Seventh Amendment or something? To cause pain to someone to through dying. But, like, lethal injection...
You go to sleep.
You go to sleep, start. Don't you?
Yeah, it's, like... From my understanding, it's, like, 7 chemicals. Because right here at the planned schedule for November 18th, 2011, at 8:30 a.m., the coroner comes in, at 8:10 a.m. administration of chemicals begins, and at 8:30 is when the coroner pronounced them. But from my understanding, it's they put you to sleep with an anesthetic, and then it's just another injection which stops your heart. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly what it's called. I'm sure you'll probably do some research on that also. But yeah.
So yeah, it's really not... Oh my god, if you guys can hear my kids howling in the background, sorry. They're crazy.
They're watching us.
They're insane children. But, I don't know. I'll let Gene say his final words. But Idaho, as a whole, they say, did not execute an innocent man. And I gotta say too, I have to put this out there. The guy that died in, hold on, it's like 1976 or something like that. Let me find the paper real quick. But the guy that died by execution before him that we're also gonna talk about.
The first one?
Yeah, at some point in time.
Numero Uno.
Yeah, that dude went out.
In the 70s?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Hold on. 1976.
Okay.
So, the last dude that died here went out like a champ, and he was like, fuck y'all. We'll talk about him. He was a sick fucker, but Paul went out begging for his life, and Idaho was like, nah, bro, we did not kill an innocent man. You are guilty as shit. Oh, and I have to say, I gotta put this in there, because my mom would be super sad if I didn't. She worked at Payless at the time of all this craziness, right?
Mm-hmm.
She sold him the shoes. And the only reason why I know that this is even true is because...
Did she make the newspapers?
No, I looked at the all the court records and everything, and they subpoenaed Payless.
Oh, really?
For his boots, because his boots were brand new, because he used the stolen money to get new boots. At some point in time in his adventure, he went shopping after killing people. He shops. But whatever. I mean, it is what it is.
You gotta change your outfit when you're running, dude. Come on.
I mean, really.
Couple sizes too big. Some socks in the front. No.
You would think I would. That's slick shit. That's slick thinking there, Jane, giving advice. But, yeah, so she sold him the shoes. So, it's kind of crazy because I also know other people who are connected to him. And
Idle Falls is a small town.
It is. But it's not so small. You know what I mean? Well, like, if you listen to other podcasts or anything else, they're always like, Idaho Falls. The fuck is in Idaho Falls? And like, we're pretty chill for like the most part. You know what I mean?
Well, in my opinion.
Oh, great. Now Jane's going to get hated by the internet.
It just seems like whenever Idaho's mentioned, it's her dumbass shit a lot of the time.
Dumb!
But it's kind of embarrassing. But that's another story. But.
It is, because like we give inmates vaginas.
Sex Jesus. But
hold on. We got to do.
Everybody's allowed an opinion.
We do have to... That is true. We do have to talk about Paul's last words, because it was kind of fucked up. So I'll let you read that real quick.
Okay.
It's right there.
Final words. To Brett, Michael Bucker, I am sorry for the part I played in your wife's death. For Haddon and Baldwin, I can't help you. You have to still keep looking. I'm sorry for your family. I can't help you. I took part in the Michael Bucker murder. I can't help you guys. I'm sorry. Rhodes told his mom goodbye. Then he turned to the executioner and warden and uttered, I forgive you. I really do.
Who cares?
So that's just still denying the Haddon and Baldwin clear to the end. And just,
yeah.
Maybe he was just an arguer. I mean, it didn't say that he was narcissistic. That was assuming, and I don't want to do that, but...
No, go ahead. Assume away, because he obviously had to be.
It just... When somebody to their core is a manipulative person and will obviously do whatever they do to... need to do, you know, including taking someone's life.
Right.
You know, raping somebody for to have that kind of power, and I don't know. I don't really want to know why people get into that mind frame, how you could hurt and torture and take someone's life.
See, and it fascinates the fuck out of me. Like, I just...
Why did you want to talk about Paul Ezra Rhodes, by the way?
Because I remember my mom talking about it when he was executed. I remember my mom talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It just came to me.
Why is he your favorite serial killer?
No, he is not.
Oh, sorry.
And it's crazy because I don't have a favorite one. Okay, yeah. I have a list. I have like a top five.
Yeah.
But, and we will talk about every one of them because I am literally obsessed. But, no, he's not my favorite. But he's just local, and for Idaho to kill you, I think you have to be a real piece of work.
Yeah, there's not many executions. I did look that up, too, in Idaho, and there's not a whole lot, let me not say it. Hang on.
We don't kill people here.
A lot's changed. So it was only the second one. No, I mean up to date.
How many we've killed up to date? I don't know.
Because he's only the second one, but the first one was in 76, and that was that one guy.
He was the 43rd person to be executed in the U.S. in 2011.
Hmm.
So like... Dude, to be on death row just blows me away. Dude, to know that, like, literally any day, someone's going to come to my cell and be like, you're going to die in a month.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, bitch. Because that's what it would be like. It'd be like, whatever you did, obviously you did something terrible to get there.
Unless you've accepted it, I guess.
Do you really accept that?
He did the Susan Michael Barker.
Well, yeah.
Now I say it correctly.
Yeah, right. But, like, I don't know. I personally, dude, would freak the fuck out mentally, I think. Because I'm not that type of person. I couldn't handle...
You would just want it over with?
Yeah. Like, if you're going to tell me I'm going to die, dude, let's do this. You know what I mean? Let's just do it. Why do we got to beat around the bush?
But you don't decide. You put yourself in the power of the Bureau of Prisons.
But if you don't fight it, though, does it go faster? You know what I mean? If you're just like, fine.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you get caught, you get caught.
I don't know. I don't think so. Because people are sentenced to death and don't appeal it and still are on death row a decade later.
Oh, my God.
And maybe more. I could get more details if you guys... want to hear anything.
I want to know what everybody else is, like, what murder does everybody else want to hear about? And, like, that doesn't have to be in Idaho, but, like, what murder do you want to hear about?
Yeah.
So tell us. And I'll tell you guys how to at the end of this, which we're coming very close to. But, so yeah, that's really just the story of Paul and...
That would have been a scary time in the 80s.
The people I talked to said it was, like, scary. That, like, this place was in a panic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was small then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, super small.
Oh, yeah.
So I can only imagine.
Yeah, I believe Sunnyside was still only, it was two lanes. You know, freaking fields everywhere.
But really, this story is really not about Paul. It is that, well, it is because he is the guy who dies in the end. But for good reason, he dies. He's a fucking monster. And it's really, unfortunately, there wasn't much in the Idaho papers or anything like that that really was like, here's a story, the story of his victims. It was really mostly, here's the story of Paul. But this really is the story of Stacy, Nolan, and Susan.
Yeah.
So it's sad that they had to get taken out in such a fucked up way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fair, but
mm-mm.
At the end of the day, truly, it sucks, but it is what it is.
And well, what makes you question was it, how much of that was just Paul and he needed the meth as an enhancement, or maybe that was a meth outrage, or
really
was it drugs or was it his personality?
I don't know, because it is said though that I don't know why, but he was, according to the other inmates, he was a good guy.
Like motivational.
He was a motivational. I think it's manipulative, but that's just me being a hater.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's a fucked up dude.
Mm-hmm.
But for all I know, who the fuck knows? It could have just been the crack. And then again, why do people have to pay? Because you want to be a crackhead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of people to go rob. You could have robbed your fucking dealer you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Probably would have gotten more. Who knows?
I don't know why people bother to knock off gas stations anyways. What are you going to get? Seriously.
Right. Well, nowadays, dude, I really think it's just dumb to commit a crime anyway. But that's for a whole other day.
Mm.
But, so yeah, thank you, Jean, for being here.
You're welcome.
And you can find us on Instagram, and I'll upload all the pictures and everything at It Is What It Is Pod 19. And you can also email us at It Is What It Is Pod 19 at gmail.com. And there's also a Facebook group under It Is What It Is. So hopefully you guys liked us. Comment, review, all that fun stuff. And next week, hopefully Jean wants to come back and talk about it. But we're going to do Casey Jo Stoddard. Yep, from Pocatello, Idaho. And she was a gorgeous, gorgeous girl. So we're going to talk about her and her tragic story. And so, yeah, you guys have a good night. And I think we're going to go get some food. So,
thank you for listening.
Yep. Have a good night, guys.
10th anniversary of prison murder. They probably didn't even listen to it. I don't know. I could hear it.